নমস্কার, কেমন আছো টু অল লাভলি সুপার মাদার্স। ওয়েলকাম টু সুপার মাদার আনলিশ। হার জার্নি অ্যাজ এ মাদার হ্যাজ নট অনলি শেপড হার পার্সপেক্টিভ বাট অলসো ফিউলড হার ড্রাইভ টু মেক আ মিনিং ইম্প্যাক্ট অন দ্য ওয়ার্ল্ড অ্যারাউন্ড হার। ড্রিভেন বাই এ ডিজায়ার টু অ্যাড্রেস সোসাইটাল ইনজাস্টিসেস অ্যান্ড এম্পাওয়ার marginalized voice was profoundly moved by the tragic story of a high school girl grappling with bullying and mental health issues. This poignant encounter catalyzed her to amplify the voices of those who are often silenced and overlooked. You all must be wondering about whom I am talking. Let me tell you, today we have a beautiful guest who is a strong mother, entrepreneur and a successful author. Her books not only spread positive vibes, those also help our society to grow with knowledge and wisdom. No, we will not delay anymore. Let's welcome our today's guest, Katy Cooperman. Hey Katy, welcome to my
Thank
show.
You.
We are glad to have you today with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in. My name is Katy Cooperman, and I am a author, mother, entrepreneur, public speaker from Toronto, Canada. And I am so pleased to be here today talking about very important topics that I am extremely passionate about. And to have that voice, on a show specifically dedicated to other mothers that I know we all think about these things these days. So it's an important conversation to have, and I'm so pleased that Soma invited me to be here.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. We all are glad that you're here today. So starting with this conversation, we will definitely talk about which comes first is your childhood, because I'm sure childhood memories are always special. So what's your story?
Yes, indeed. I think it's interesting because many people, when they come to write about very difficult topics, it's because they've had some past experience or some childhood trauma. And I'm here to say happily, but maybe unfortunately for the state of conversation, that was not my childhood at all. I had a very happy childhood. When I think back, I have nothing but fond memories of all the different things that I did and all the different experiences that I had, especially with my parents. I'm an only child, so I don't have any brothers or sisters. I was always kind of the center of my parents' universe, and that always felt amazing. And I was a busy kid. My parents were always very involved actively. So from a young age, I got involved in rhythmic gymnastics. I don't know if anybody knows what that is, but it's the sport of gymnastics, but it's with ribbons and balls and hoops. And I did that internationally, actually. So I was a competitor very heavily in that sport. And I think, that experience, there was a lot of, I don't want to call them hardships, but tough things to go through at a young age, debilitating injuries, struggling with weight, unhealthy perceptions of weight in my mind because of very strict European-based coaches. And so, if I really have to dig deep into my childhood, everything was so peachy keen, as people try to say. But if I really, think back long and hard, there are certainly experiences that I wouldn't call hardships, but certain things that happened along the way that made me, I believe, tougher and more resilient. And also, because I was so successful in those other areas, even from a young age, I think that gave me a very empathetic lens. So when I was looking around at other people, I've always been so deeply moved by the human spirit and people around me. And if someone is struggling, I feel that, very deeply. And I believe that that's what eventually led me to write a book like this and books like these about important topics, because when I hear these stories happening around the world, it truly breaks my heart, and I want to make a positive difference in this area.
Yeah, in this session, definitely we are talking about this bullying, all these issues which teenage girls face. Have you ever encountered in your school?
No, you know, when I was in high school, it was also a different time. You know, we're going back 20 years, 20 plus years when I was in high school. I believe it was a little bit different back then. That's not to say that there weren't things that happened. There were minor things that happened directly to me, but I believe at that point, I had a tougher skin on me. And I believe that's one of the big things we need to teach our kids these days too. Learn how to brush things off that don't matter. Learn how to brush things off that don't serve you in a positive way. You know, and I think, you know, having your child be confident about something else in their life is a big deal. You know, I was successful in gymnastics and in dance. So I believe that that helps kids. You know, when you're growing up and something happens to you, maybe adverse or someone makes fun of you, you always still have that confidence from something else that you are maybe successful in. So I was always able to brush those little things off and to really stand my ground. You know, when I saw things happening around me, I would try to speak up wherever I could. I remember one of my friends being discriminated against just for her national background, and immediately walked over to that group of friends in the cafeteria, I remember at the high school, and I let them have it. I spoke up for my friend and just said, you know, that's disgusting. That's completely unacceptable. You know, you can't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I believe, you know, there was things happening around me, but in regards for something super big and traumatic, no, I'm happy to say no.
Good, very good. You know, this kind of words are an inspiration to others also, how we need to be. Recently, you wrote a book called The Only Way Out about two teenage girls. One had fallen into the trap of a bad person and her life became hell. Have you ever dealt with this kind of situation? If yes, please share.
Nothing like what I wrote. You know, my story is entirely fictional, but it is inspired by other things and research that I've done and other stories that are out there.
There's always a better way to deal, but can you share your thoughts on this? What's the right way you think to create awareness among parents and people in our surrounding?
So I think it's, you know, one of the key messages, well, the very foundational message and purpose of the first novel that I wrote, The Only Way Out, it comes with a very strong message about the importance of talking openly and speaking up. That's what the whole story is about. You know, you go through this journey with these two girls entering high school. Some bad things happen. There are secrets. You know, we can all relate to that. There's secrets. People don't tell us everything. We don't know what's happening behind closed doors. Then those secrets are revealed. You know, a big tragedy takes place. And then, you know, what happens after? So then there's all these struggles and guilt associated with the silence, because one friend has found herself to be a bystander. And even though she wants to speak up, her friend begs her not to. And I think that's something else that kids and teens can relate to, you know, that feeling of, oh, you know, maybe we should talk about this, or maybe we should do something about this. But then some friend says, please don't, you know, you're my friend, I trust you, please don't tell anyone. Keep something to yourself. And are you still loyal to the friend, or do you go surpass that and still speak up because you know how important it is to do that? But towards the end of the book, you know, a big transformation takes place and the main character realizes how critical her voice is and how much positive change it can really create around her, starting small and then building outwards. And so my main message to parents, to kids, to teens, to teachers, to principals, to coaches of sports. And I know that's far easier said than done, but we all have to start somewhere. And so, you know, a core message in my novel and in my workbook that goes along with the novel called Many Ways Up, there really is this underlying foundational purpose and message to empower readers and students and kids and teens, and even, you know, their teachers around them to have these important conversations in the classroom, parents to have these kinds of conversations at home, everybody in the community that we are with and a part of in our lives. I think it's absolutely critical that we all begin to talk about the true importance of open communication, open, honest, and speaking up when we know that we need to. And again, I know that's far easier said than done, but I believe that that is the very first step that must happen in this battle against bullying and mental health issues that that are only becoming more and more prominent, especially among our youth and our tweens and our teens, which is even more heartbreaking. You know, these are lives we must protect. And so I believe we really need to start there. We need to start with the open dialogue. And if we can actually create these open dialogue, speaking up communities all around us, then, you know, when somebody acts out or does something inappropriate or hurtful, it will not be tolerated. And they will know that, and everyone in the community will know that as well, because someone will speak up, someone will make sure that that doesn't happen again, or that that person is branded for their actions. And we, again, need to form that community first. It's like building blocks, and you're building a tower all together. And you're unbreakable when you're together, but if you're standing over here on your own, you're not very powerful. You don't have that sense of community around you. So I believe we must start with open and honest communication and build that all around us to create these stronger communities, and therefore stronger, happier, and more fulfilled people within those communities.
Katie, I'm so eager to know one thing. What came in your mind while writing this book?
So originally, several years ago now, when, you know, I knew that I wanted to write a book, I had spent the better part of a decade, even past a decade, writing all kinds of stories for my clients through my business. And I really realized I had this passion and I really wanted to create my own story and bring it to life. But for the longest time, I had no idea what I wanted to write about, funnily enough. And it was always on my mind, write a book, write a book, write a book. And it wasn't until this day when I went to the gym and I was having a workout on one of these machines at the gym, and I came across this girl's story, Amanda Todd from British Columbia in Canada. She's unfortunately no longer with us. And her story literally brought me to tears right there on the elliptical machine. You know, I'm working out, I'm literally crying. I'm so moved by this story. It's such a heart-wrenching, awful story. But there's also so much inspiration in it, because this brave young girl, you know, put up this video on YouTube and it ended up going viral and informing the world. And, you know, since that day, there's been new policies that have come into place, all kinds of positive things to protect kids in these arenas, specifically in areas of cyberbullying on the computer. Right. And so that day, you know, when I left the gym, I was so moved, and it was just, you know, like everything ignited in my body. I knew exactly what I wanted to write about, and I wanted to write an impactful story about bullying and something that could not only touch people's hearts and make them feel, you know, that strong emotion that you need to feel before you take action, which I also very strongly believe in. You know, we need to ignite people's emotions first, then we can tell them what to do with those emotions. And so as I was writing this book, the things that were coming to my mind were always, you know, I'm writing this for young adults. Young adults, people will often say, you know, that's your toughest audience, because they will be the most honest with you. You know, adults can maybe save your feelings a little bit and tell you it's good when it's really not. Kids won't do that, right? Kids will give you honest feedback from the moment you step on the stage, from the moment they're reading the first page of your book or whatever it may be. So I was constantly thinking to myself as I was writing, make it interesting, make it impactful, make people want to turn the next page. What's going to happen next? And so I hope I've achieved that with the novel. And then more importantly, you know, as I approach sort of the latter half of the book, I thought to myself, well, it can't be only this story that pulls at people's heartstrings. It's got to be something more. I want to motivate people to do the next best thing. How can we battle this? What can we do? What can the story do to give people that hope, that sense of empowerment? Like, yes, my voice matters. I can make these small little changes in my everyday life too.
That's amazing. That's amazing, Katie. It has so much to listen and it has so much to understand. I think that's what I have learned from you. I'm sure I want every parent to read this. That's what matters a lot. After this episode, I'm sure every parent would like to have one copy of this book.
Thank you so much.
So for you, like, what message you would like to pass on to the world through this book?
Yeah, once again, my key message, and I'm sticking to it, is open and honest communication and the empowerment of people to know that they have a voice. And, you know, when I go do talks in schools, I define that for people too. Everyone should know, number one, we are all equals on this earth.
Yeah.
We're all equals here together. It doesn't matter our shape, our size, our look, the color of our skin, our sexual preferences. None of this matters. We are all just people on this earth together, and we're all just trying to figure it out. And we're all trying to live our best lives. That's one thing we can all agree upon. We want to feel happy. We want to feel fulfilled. And I think the real magic is going to happen when we all realize that we can do this together, not apart, not individual, but together. And part of that togetherness means, you know, no matter what I say, you accept me for it. You don't need to agree with me, but you need to accept me for it.
Right.
And if I see something that I believe is truly wrong, I have that voice inside of me, and I have the right to go and speak up about it. And maybe I don't have the courage to do that, you know, with the exact altercation that's happening or the exact person it's happening with, or maybe it's happening to me and I can't do it for myself. But what about after? I believe we all have at least one person in our lives that we trust with all of our hearts and souls. Go to that person, tell them about whatever you're going through or whatever you've seen or whatever you think is not right or that you need to deal with in some way. And then again, we can start building this community. If we all do it together, it's way less scary. It's only scary to talk openly and speak up when you're all alone. But if you're together, it's far less scary. And I do believe it is the start of big change.
But I think sometimes kids, they get scared or they keep on thinking whom to talk. So, you know, things are psychologically, it keeps on eating their mind. So how they will overcome with that? If you can just share, I think it's a very strong message will go to every parent.
No, it's a very excellent question. There's so many complex emotions that can go on, not only with adults, we can all relate to this, even things happening in our lives, but especially kids, you know, they're still growing, they're still developing. Yeah. If something bad happens towards them, yes, it can be. They might feel embarrassed, ashamed, unable to take that next step. And I respect that. You know, I think it's important to acknowledge that as you have and respect it. And again, it's not a perfect solution. But, you know, I believe that some kids out there maybe feel that they do have this voice that they can use, and maybe others don't. So then the question becomes, why? Why the discrepancy between the two? And is it a part of parenting? Is it a part of teaching at school? Is it a part of the people that they are friends with, the people they surround themselves with? Maybe one feels a little bit more comfortable than the other. There's no perfect answer here. My belief is that as parents, teachers, coaches, any adult of, I would say, influence or closeness to a child in this life, especially in this day and age, I believe we need to be having these kinds of conversations. And I don't mean that in the sense that we have to be teaching our kids every day to speak up for themselves. No, but it starts from something so much smaller than that. It starts from, I'll just talk, you know, for moms, for example. I know your audience is super moms. I love it.
Yeah.
So super moms out there, I believe it starts with the little things. Tell your child every night before bed that they're amazing in their own way and in their own right. Tell them you're so proud of them. Even if they did nothing special that day or that week or that month, you're
right.
So proud of for being them. Tell them that, you know, ask them how school was today. And I know lots of parents say, you know, I asked my kid how school was, I got nothing. They didn't give me any information. But my argument to that is, of course, you know, think about it when you see an old friend, right? And you run into them on the street or at the coffee shop and you say, how are you? How's everything? How's life? What is that person going to say? Yeah, everything's fine. It's when you ask the more specific questions that you get answers and you start opening up the conversation. So try to remember when your child says, oh, I have a presentation on Friday. Or try to remember when your child says, it's my friend's birthday at school on Thursday. Because then when they come home, you don't have to say, how was your day? You can say, hey, how was your friend's birthday? Did you say happy birthday? Did you guys sing it in class? How was that presentation? Did it go well? Did you feel like you did a good job? When you ask more specifics, I find that then the kids will go further from there. And so, you know, even just by having those little casual conversations every day, you show your kid that you're interested in their life. and you show them that there is this open conversation all the time. Maybe they won't give you answers that day, but if you keep asking and keep showing your interest, they will come. They will. And they will feel that they have that open space. And so, you know, for teachers and coaches, they can do the same kinds of things, right? Empower the students, empower the classroom by just little things like, hey, great job today. Hey, I really noticed you took my note on how to make your writing better in that latest assignment. Good job. All these little things give kids the confidence that they need to then know that they have to do something in those bad moments or adverse situations. It starts really small, and you have to be building that relationship and that voice from every angle.
So you mean to say building emotional bonding or confident with the kids?
For sure. For yeah. sure. Yeah. For sure.
That's what important. Then they'll feel comfortable with their parents, and they will also feel that my mother would like to know more about me. She's interested in me. She's a great partner with me. I can share anything with her. That kind of confidence she will also, or he will also, build up in her.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, you know, that bond, we all feel it as moms, that special, special bond. Yeah. And you can only, if you're committed to it, you can only build that further and make that even more special as the years go on. And, you know, as the kids get a little bit older, I think it becomes even more important, because they will pull away, right? We won't know everything that we know when they're little. We can accept that, but we can still have that strong foundation that we've built and carry it even through. You know, if they become teenagers, I'm waiting for mine to go through those years. Not for a while yet.
Love.
But, you know, I already have plans. You know, I'm already coaching myself to say, okay, I might not get answers all the time. They might not want to hang out with me all the time, but they'll always know I'm there. They'll always know I'm there.
Yeah, that's so good. Yes. Katie, being a mother, I'm sure you are also very protective of your kids. How was your pregnancy journey? How's that? It was special? How's it?
Yeah, very special pregnancy. You know, specifically with my first child, my son, you know, very smooth pregnancy. So special, the first one, right? So much excitement, so much tracking, you know, every day, how much bigger am I getting? Is my child growing, and so forth? That one was very smooth for me. I almost most days just forgot I was even pregnant. You know, I carried about my life, and then my son arrived, and it was just magic from there, you know, just magic. And about 20 months later, we had my daughter. So that pregnancy was not so smooth.
Okay.
I mean, there was no complications, but I noticed a very distinct difference between the two. Mm-hmm. I didn't really feel like myself. I'm a very kind of level-headed person. I can get emotional, but it's not all the time. And I was just an emotional mess with this child inside of me. I think, you know, maybe it was the extra girl hormones, and I felt completely out of control emotionally.
Okay.
And and that was interesting, because I also had a very, very strong feeling that I was having a girl. With both of my kids, I did not find out what I was going to have ahead of time. So both of them were surprises. And a lot of people all around me were telling me, no, we think it's going to be another boy. And I don't know, I had this strong feeling, and it all made sense, you know, when she ended up being, well, I thought, okay, she drove me a little nuts.
Yeah, I mean, boys' natures are quite different than girls.
I agree.
Girls are hyperactive than boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boys are having their own world, and girls are like having their complete different world.
Yeah, I really agree with that. They're very different.
Even the girls' thinkings are, I think, more powerful than boy. It comes after that. But the girls think much stronger than the boy.
Yeah, you know, if I really had to make a comparison at this age, you know, 7 and 9, you know, my son is he's got his own world going on up here. he's not always with you. Those wheels are turning nonstop, and high energy, always energetic, ready to go, doesn't need very much sleep, you know, go by. And then, but also very sensitive, very emotional, very big soul. And my daughter is more the, she's like a CEO, you know, she's ready to boss people around. She's ready to tell her brother, no, you got to do it this way. Very goofy, you know, different moments, very organized, always with you, you know, never up in her head in another world. Always, you know, with the what's going on around her. Yeah, it's very interesting. And also, you know, she also has that sensitive side, but more easily able to say, whatever, depending what it is.
So you mean to say that bossy attitude, you know, she's having that.
Yeah.
And that is the most beautiful thing, you know, girls are having.
You know what I say? She's a very kind of strong, stubborn head sometimes, but I always tell my husband, I say, you know what? I would rather her be like that than any other way. In this life now, girls especially have to be strong. So let her have it.
Very true. Even, you know, so many mothers around the world, my friends, they always say that. Whichever the girl doesn't talk, they say like, oh no, girls shouldn't be like this. Nowadays, you need to be really, really active. You need to be really, really proactive to speak out on the situations.
Yes, so true.
So Ketty, till the time our kids are at home, we are there to take care. But you also know that once they step out, we become more cautious about their safety. Mm-hmm. Is there any particular guidelines you taught your kids to keep in mind?
Yeah, so I think, you know, on the very sort of basic, typical kind of level, I think it's important when they start going more out on their own, you know, maybe they're riding the bus to school, maybe they're walking to school, maybe they're just at school, but you're dropping them off, but they have that sort of, you know, private space, or if they start getting into extracurriculars or even play dates with friends. You know, important to have conversations around safety, I believe. So always remind your child, and I try to do this every so often, every few months or so, we have kind of a safety quiz, you know, what do you do if there's a fire wherever you are? What do you do if someone you don't know comes up to you and says, hey, come here, your mom told me I'm picking you up today. My name is so-and-so, I'm her, one of her friends. You don't know me yet, but what do they do in that scenario? Quick thinking. What do they do in scenarios where a friend asks them to do something that maybe makes them feel uncomfortable? You know, what would they do in that moment? And then in and around that, I think the next step after that becomes when they start going to friends' houses or other maybe private residences or other places where you may not be all the time. It's not as though maybe you're gonna come and have the play date also. Maybe you're dropping them off. So I think a big thing these days that I like to think about is video, right? Video and pictures. Lots of kids these days get smartphones at the age of, oh my gosh, 9, 8. I'm thinking, This kid doesn't know what to do with that technology. Adults don't even know what to do with that technology. So I'm always reminding them that once something happens online, it's there forever. And I think that's something that kids don't realize and then maybe don't act upon until it's too late, potentially. That's a scary thing, right? All it takes is just one slip up and then an embarrassing photo can be online forever. Which is tragic. You know, we should all have the ability to make mistakes and then not have them haunt us for the rest of our lives. But unfortunately, we are living in a digital era where that's just simply not possible. And so teaching kids the safety around that. So, you know, don't just go on somebody's, and I'm talking about this maybe when they get a little bit older, but don't go on somebody's YouTube channel just because they said, come do a video with me. If you want to create a YouTube channel, let's do it at home. Let's do it safely. I need to teach you a bunch of things to make sure that you're safe about it. And we have to make sure that you're ready to handle all of that, right? Even pictures, you know, don't take pictures with your friends. Maybe you don't know what they're going to do with those pictures. Stay away from that for now. So, you know, I think there's the kind of everyday safety around strangers and fire and unsafe situations and uncomfortable situations. And then there's also the whole internet situation. So again, I go back to conversation. Have these talks with your kids. Don't be afraid to have these talks. And whenever you think in your mind that maybe it might be time, but you're not sure, is it too soon? It's time. If you're thinking of it, they've probably already been in certain scenarios or had chats with friends about these kinds of things. So I believe the earlier the better, and it doesn't have to be a scary thing, right? Just, hey, what would you do in this situation? And let's talk about this for a minute. And then The thing I like the most about these open conversations too is kids often don't respond too well to just make sure you never do this. Make sure you never do this. Don't you dare go do this. Why? Why, parent? Why should I not do that? Always explain the why to your kids. They will bond better to whatever rule or guideline you're putting on them. And you're humanizing the situation, right? Even as adults, if someone just commands that we do something, we'll probably say, okay, why would I do that? Why should I do that? Explain that to your children. Talk to them as though they're your friend in that moment and explain why, and that will better resonate with them in those moments that they may find themselves in.
I think it's kind of a trap also, we can call it. You know, we keeps on uploading lots of pictures, or we make a world. You mean to say there are so many social media platforms are there where kids, even the youngsters, are very active. They wanted to show every single thing, like morning getting up, you know, getting a coffee or going to college, what they are doing, and post college what they are doing. It's scary. Yep. Even I really feel sometime about this, where all things are going.
Yeah, I agree with that too. It is a little bit scary to think about where we're headed and how much more digital we're potentially going to get. It is a scary thought, especially for moms and parents. You know, we can only focus our minds at what's happening right now. And I know, again, that's easier said than done, but we can train our brains to do that, to not think too far ahead. That's a never-ending kind of spiral of doom, potentially. So stay focused on right now. You know, what can you do right now?
So there are so many vlogs also I have seen. It's about family, kids and all. It actually, you know, tend to think about all this, what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's so true.
So when we talk about our children along with their mental health, I believe physical health also plays a very important role. So for you, while cooking for your kids, what one thing always keeps in mind? Is it the nutrition fact or the taste?
Yeah, good question. I love this question. I try to do both, but that doesn't always happen. I would say, first and foremost, for at-home cooking, I focus on nutrition first. I do try to get creative to make, and I'll give you a few examples. So we are very healthy eaters in this house. I really believe strongly in that. I had, my husband and I both actually had gastrointestinal stomach issues in our 20s, and we learned about food intolerances and sort of some foods harsher than others. And you know, I believe in India things are different, things are more naturally cooked, but unfortunately over here in North America there's just so much processed food, there's so much garbage out there, there's just, it's all very unnatural. And so many temptations, especially for kids. You know, you go in the store and you leave, and what's right by the cash register? A million different chocolate bars and chips that your kids are going to beg for on the way out. And I just thinking around nutrition and good eating here, you know, good got replaced for tasty, as you say, instead of nutritious. So especially when I'm at home and I'm cooking homemade meals for my kids, it's all about nutrition. It's all about natural ingredients. Very heavy on the vegetables. They don't like all the vegetables yet, but yeah, They've got a nice array of vegetables that they like. I'll give you a few examples. You know, when my kids were little, because I was always very big on the health factor. When they're really little, you know, they're, well, at least my kids, they wouldn't just pick up a piece of broccoli and eat it. So I used to find these clever ways of inserting vegetables into different foods they love to eat. So I used to make a veggie pancake.
Okay.
That was loaded with greens. So leafy greens, spinach, kale, broccoli, all blended up with, I do oat flour and chia seeds and flax seeds, and mix it all together with some cinnamon, apples, bananas, all blended, okay? And mixed with all. And I would fry it up like a pancake. Their pancakes were green, but they loved them. And it wasn't until, I think maybe it's been less than a year. So my husband always said to me, how long do you think you're going to be able to serve them these pancakes? Because it's like their pancakes are always green. And, you know, going up to restaurants or seeing other kids' pancakes, their pancakes were never green. I was honest with them. I said, yes, there's vegetables in there. You know, they still like them for a while, but that's gone now. 7 and 9. So maybe around six and eight, they said, Mom, can we not have these pancakes anymore? Other ways too that I tried to mix vegetables in with any kind of batter that I was making. So if I was making, I used to make these little like crispy quinoa balls and I would put veggies in there. I would make kind of like a black bean burger patty. I would put veggies in there. I still do that. So just clever ways to make food more exciting for kids. You know, my kids don't really like plain rice. That's a big thing in India. I'm sure your kid loves rice, don't they?
Yeah, rice. Yes.
Yeah, but sometimes I'll crisp it up. So I'll put the rice in a frying pan with avocado oil and I'll make it crispy so it's more exciting for them, but it's still, all natural, healthy food. So I try to be as accommodating as possible, but definitely, you know, through the week, because I always know on the weekends or even at school, if there's a pizza day, that might be sort of a meal that they're eating outside the house. So when it's at home, I definitely focus on nutrition and try to make it as tasty as possible for them too.
Wow. For your kids, definitely we need to play around. My daughter is also a very big fussy eater. If it's tasty, she'll eat. Otherwise, no. And that's a battle. So how much do you believe in home remedies, like natural healing for your family?
Yeah, I love that. Anytime I feel that I can accomplish that with, you know, heavy medicine and antibiotics and all those things. So I try all kinds of at-home remedies or more natural remedies. They're not always things that I make by myself, but I found one thing to be really effective. I'm sure many moms already know about this one, but you know, if your child has a bad cough, especially at night before bed or even while they're sleeping, I used to put a tiny little cup of honey next to their bed with a baby spoon and just, you know, a tiny spoon of honey can just soothe the throat. And I found that to be quite effective. I do also give my kids what I call an immunity boost. You know, here in Canada, the weather gets really cold in the winter. And then also this time of year, it goes up and down, which is the perfect recipe for everybody to get sick, you know. So I try to do immunity boosts. So I'm a big believer in zinc. So I use a natural zinc liquid. We also do a pure vitamin C powder mixed with a little bit of syrup or honey as an extra little boost. I also believe in sort of a daily maintenance. So I give my kids a probiotic. They also have a natural kind of, what is it called? Like an omega-3 oil that they take one little bit of. So all of these little things, and I do believe in boosting them a little bit, especially here in Canada through the winter weather, but also keeping it as natural as possible and healthy with all the food that we're putting in our bodies too. I think it's kind of a mix of everything, incorporating in fresh air, lots of fresh air, lots of exercise or staying active as well, and sort of the whole big picture.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I love to experiment on natural things with my daughter. That's amazing. That doesn't have no side effects actually. So
yes,
that is amazing.
Agreed.
So being a mother, your thought process towards this kind of bullying and the traumatized life of Amanda Todd has made you write and think something about teenagers. So can you please pass it a strong message to the parents of teenagers from the age of 12 to 16 approximately?
Yeah, that's great. I know these can often be tough years. So I hear, I'm not quite there yet. I would say that a little part of me is nervous for that time, but I'm also feeling confident because I believe I am creating the best possible foundation right now. And I think as kids approach those teen years, it's ever more important to instill in them all these important things that we want them to know going into those years. So my one strong message is going to be, keep your doors open. All of the research that I've done in the space of bullying, mental health issues, mental health struggles with tweens and teens and youth, it seems to always stem back to that child feeling alone and isolated. And so lots of times the parents speak out afterwards and say, I didn't know what was going on. My child didn't communicate this kind of stuff to me.
Right.
Friends speak out and say, Yeah, they kind of seemed off on their own. They didn't tell me much about what was going on. So we need to keep the doors open and constantly remind our youth and tweens and teens that those doors are open no matter what. And I even started saying at this age, you know, especially after my kid maybe comes out and says something to me about something that I know maybe they wouldn't say to everybody, but they felt comfortable saying it to me. I always make a point of saying, first of all, it starts now, you know, even before the teen years. And even if you're already in teen years, you can begin this now too, but never let your kid feel badly for even a second after they admit something to you or come to you with something. So watch your facial expressions. Be careful, you know, you have to make them feel like it's an open, inclusive space, right? So thanks for coming to me. Interesting question. Here's how I would answer it. Or just right away go into the answer. Oh yeah, okay, here we go. Answer it. Flat out, honest, real. Be real with your kids. And if you do that now and constantly kind of just remind them, hey, you know you can always come to me about anything, right? Yeah, okay, good. Just making sure. Always do that all the way through. And then it's really once they're in those teen years, it's just about keeping it open. Still create time as a family to do things that you can do together or that matter, or that even if you're just hanging out in the house together, the doors are open, you're there.
Last not the least, we spoke so much about what all things we need to keep in mind, we have to tell our kids. But before ending this session, I would definitely like to ask you why every parent should read this book.
I believe every parent should read this book because it will open your eyes into the unfortunate possibilities of what can happen. Silence is surrounding the things that have taken place when it comes to bullying, mental health, and so forth. You know, the last thing any parent wants is for their child to suffer. And I believe that I've had a mix of people read the book, you know, over the last year or so, and both, you know, my target audience, which is, I would say, youth anywhere from the age of 12 all the way up to 18. And then I've also had parents read this book who have related to it in different ways. Sometimes it's reminding them of what happened in their own high school experience. Other times it's bringing up feelings of grief or accountability in certain other scenarios. So I do believe, and according to what I've heard so far from my readers, that there is a little bit of something in there for everyone, even to just feel the emotion surrounding the story and to have that awareness raised about the fact that these things are going around in the world, and we need to be aware of them so that we can then really, really understand and feel the value of our own voices when we do choose to speak openly, talk up, and create these open dialogues of conversation within the community.
It was a superb conversation with you, Ketty. As a mother, entrepreneur, and author, you embody the resilience, determination, and compassion needed to effect positive change in the world. Your unwavering commitment to amplifying marginalized voices and addressing societal challenges serves as a beacon of hope and inspiration for generations to come. I'm really touched and glad after having the entire conversation with you. Hats off.
Thank you so much, Soma. As I said at the beginning, it's been an absolute pleasure to be here.
So with that, we have come to the end of this episode. Please do share this podcast with your friend, your colleagues, and all the mothers in your network. I would also like to request all my listeners to please share your thought, views, feedback about today's episode. And if you have any topic on which you want me to cover on my podcast, please write to me. Would love to receive your comments. I will see you next week. Till then, bye-bye.